Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We just want to say first and foremost as a team, thank you for being so hospitable. I appreciate so much. Everywhere I go, God continues to show me things I've often had questions about. And one of my questions comes out of my childhood. I grew up in North Florida, and my dad is a philosoph kind of guy. He has a lot of thoughts and ideas, and for a long time, I thought he made a lot of stuff up. And he used to tell us, now, y'all be careful. We were out in the country. He said, y'all be careful where you go and what you do, and don't let the wampus cat get you. And I thought, yeah, right. I eventually put that in the category of Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, that kind of thing, you know. But I've learned in Itasca, Texas, he knew what he was talking about. So thanks to Felicia, I'm going to be able to present my dad an official Wampus Cat sweatshirt. And he is going to love that, and he is going to wear that proudly, knowing that, boy, I told you, now you ought to pay attention. So he'll have his day with me. It has been a joy to come to Itasca. It's been a powerful blessing to experience Itasca. And I believe that God has a plan. We have talked a lot about experiencing God. We've talked a lot about it. And people have used the term program. And I kind of cringe at that because the last thing we want you to do is to get one of these, fill it out, put it on the shelf, and say, check, one more program done. Some of you got so many programs on the shelf that your shelf's starting to sag. Amen? I guarantee you. What I'd like to think through today is that this is not just a program. But this is really a journey, and I pray it will begin a new season for the Central Baptist Church in Itasca, Texas. I believe God has got a plan and a dream and a purpose for this church. Thank God for the past. We're thankful for those who have gone before us and whose shoulders we stand on today because they were faithful to stay true to the Word of God. They were faithful to reach out and minister in the community. Many of you here are here today because faithful men and women of God reached out to you and told you about the story of Jesus and invited you to accept Jesus as your Savior and to grow in Him. And your very presence today signifies a very rich and wonderful heritage that is the Central Baptist Church of Itasca. But I'm convinced that God is in the process of getting this church ready to move forward. And in so doing, I believe if the Lord tarries, and in 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, when many of us will already be in glory, they'll be saying here, thank God. Thank God that those folks were here to tell me about Jesus and to encourage me to walk in the Christian life. And that season that began back in February of 2020 was a season that continued our church's rich heritage and great tradition of saying, Lord, whatever you lead, we will follow. Wherever you go, we'll be right behind you. And that's my prayer today as we look. I want to invite you to look in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. Now, the Experiencing God material is basically a study of the life of Moses in the book of Exodus, chapters 3 and 4. So it's very biblical-based. And for 12 to 13 weeks, you'll be going through and unpacking all the stuff we talked about on Friday and Saturday and that sort of thing. It's going to be an incredible journey, not just for you personally, but also for your family, for your different groups that we'll be meeting, and then ultimately for your church, and then for the community. So I'm excited about this next chapter, this next journey that you're going to be undertaking. As you turn to Joshua 24, I want to reference verses 14 and 16. But you realize that a week from tomorrow, we're going to be celebrating President's Day. And it's kind of sad in some ways to me because back when I was in school, we had Lincoln's Day and we had Washington's Day because President Lincoln was born on February 16th. We'd celebrate that day. And President Washington was born on the 22nd of February. We'd celebrate that day and usually include a little bit of cake or something. And for an elementary child, you know, any day for cake was a good day. You know, didn't matter who was celebrating. Later, I learned that these two men were incredible influencers in our country. George Washington, as you well know, was the leader of our Continental Army. And it was under his leadership, and back in 1776 and beyond, that we defeated the British, and then that we were able to establish a country, and he is known as the father of our country. Years later, in the next century, We had a terrible conflict that was beginning to brew. And that terrible conflict eventually erupted into a civil war that was such a terrible, terrible loss of life and carnage. And it was our 16th president, President Abraham Lincoln, that stood in the gap. And I believe God used him to help hold our nation together during a very tumultuous and terrifying time. But these two men, whose birthdays we signify on one day now, which would be next Monday, really did impact our country in a tremendous way. And you see, it was because they made good choices, smart choices. They chose well that these men are revered today and appreciated as heroes in our country's history. Dear friends, I believe God is calling us today to choose well. Now again, granted, we're going to make a choice. And I pray that we choose well as we think through what the next chapter is going to be, how our next journey will begin, and how God is going to guide us according to His will. So look with me to Joshua chapter 24. I'll start reading in verse 14 and invite you to follow along in your translation of the word. But here is what the New King James says. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, serve the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwelt. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for what you've done these past few days to bless our hearts. You truly have, Lord. And I thank you on behalf of our team to this church and to you for allowing us and our lives to intersect at this very strategic point in the history of both. And Father, even as we look ahead, we pray, Father, in a service today that we'd recognize and realize how critical it is that we make wise decisions, that we choose well as we go forward in our own personal Christian life, in the life of this church, and in the life of the kingdom. Thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to hear your word sung. Thank you for being able to pronounce your word. And now, Lord, just speak through us to preach your word is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As you look with me, I want to talk to you about types of choices. In this particular passage, we're talking about several ways that we do these choices. And the first is that we need to make an informed choice. Some of you may be thinking, hopefully not many, yeah, you get this group coming from the outside and they get everybody all jazzed up, razzle dazzle, well, you know, it's no big deal. Well, dear friends, I trust you've sensed from our team that this is a big deal. It's a big deal. Nobody's paying us to come. We had to get supplier people to fill in our places because we couldn't be in our regular spots today. We came for one reason. God has touched our hearts, and He has said to us, go and tell others. That's our only motive for being here. Now, we do appreciate you feeding us. That was helpful and putting up a few of us. But I'm telling you, we're here not because we're trying to fulfill some kind of denominational scorecard or trying to. It is simply because we love the Lord, have found a way to grow in Him, and we just want to pass it on to brothers and sisters wherever we're invited to come. And so that is what we're praying for. And I want you to make an informed choice as you think about whether or not to begin this study yourself in this new season of your church's life. Joshua, in our text here, he's at the end of his ministry. In the beginning of the book of Joshua, he called the people. He took over after Moses passed. And then he led the people over the Jordan River into the promised land. And they conquered much of the land. And now Joshua's time is done. He's getting ready to pass. And now he's calling the people to look ahead. He's challenging them to go where they've never gone before. And it's interesting because you remember Joshua and Caleb were the only original spies who came out of Egypt with that some 600,000 people crossed over the Red Sea, dry land, kicking up dust as he went, and then went into the wilderness there. And you'll remember the spies went in the land. 10 of them brought back a bad report, and being good Baptists that they were, they all voted with the 10 of the majority. It was a bad vote, bad call, and the people suffered for it for 40 years, wandering in the wilderness. And during that time, that unbelieving generation died off. And there arose a new generation. And this new generation are the people that Caleb and Joshua, the only survivors from that previous generation, are now leading and guiding into a new land. And they're coaching them and encouraging them. And now this one leader is about to pass. And he is so anxious, Joshua is, that the people remember the lessons they've learned and that they keep growing. And so he's saying to them in kind of a tongue-in-cheek way here in verses 14 and 15. He says, okay, I want you to make an informed choice. First of all, I want you to know who we've been following. He says to them, fear the Lord. And this is the idea of a reverential and a very holy and high respect for the Lord God Almighty. This is the Lord. Every time you see the word Lord and it's four letters capitalized like it is in the text there, that is the word Yahweh. That is the word Jehovah, depending on what translation. It's the same word, but it is the word that when Moses was in the desert, saw the burning bush, it wasn't consumed, and he said, whom shall I say sent me? And that's where God said, I am that I am has sent you. What does that mean? It means, Moses, whatever you need, I'll take care of it. I am the covenant God. I am the promise-keeping and promise-making God, and you won't have to fear anything. So Joshua is reminding them that this covenant-keeping and covenant-making God is still with them. And dear friends, we can trust Him, and we are to fear and honor Him because He and He alone is God Almighty. But He says, as you fear the Lord, also serve the Lord in sincerity. Serve the Lord in sincerity. You know, it's so easy at times, and these folks did. It's so easy to play games with God. But you know, God doesn't play games. You say, well, why didn't God just strike them right there? Well, that's kind of harsh. But the reality is God is always responding to us out of grace. He's always responding to us out of mercy. And God wants us to recognize and realize that He is God and we can serve Him and we don't have to play games with Him. Isn't that wonderful? God understands us better than we understand ourselves, and He still loves us and wants us to follow Him. I don't understand that. That's not how I'm made up. I want people to do what I say do. I want people to do what I expect them to do. And if they don't, I don't know what to do with that. But God shows us an example that we are to fear Him, yes, and then we're to serve Him in this idea of sincerity and in truth. You know, we take the Word of God, and we discover for ourselves the truth of God here in His Word. And as we take God and trust Him, and we're sincere with Him, and we follow His truth, God will never, ever let us down. Now, I'm not saying the path is always going to be smooth. I'm not saying we're not going to have any heartache and difficulties. That's all part of life, friends. But I'm here to tell you that right now, God is calling us to make an informed choice. Who else in all this universe can we trust to do what only God can do? We're either going to serve Him and follow Him, or we're going to put ourselves in a very difficult and bad situation. One last thing He talks about with this informed choice, He says to them, and put aside or put away the gods which your fathers served. Put away. How many things do we have in our lives that keep us from really serving the Lord with sincerity and truth? You say, well, preachers don't understand. It's a busy, busy time. Okay, I get that it's a busy, busy time. But let me ask you a question. When you stand before the Lord one day, as I will, and we give an account as believers in Christ, are you really going to tell Him that you couldn't do that because the Cowboys were playing today? Are you really going to tell the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, are you really going to tell this one who is the creator of everything, the one who created us, the one who sustains us, the one who died on Calvary to save us, you're really going to tell Him, yeah, Lord, but I had to do the laundry today. You really going to tell him that? After he's told you what he wants, showed you how to do it, and then empowered you to make it happen, you're really going to tell him, yeah, I really needed a nap. You see, we play these kind of games all the time. We play a game called church. Well, if I just show up on Sunday and do my thing and I check the blank and drop some coins in a plate, it's cool. That is a life-destroying game. God don't play those kind of games. You see, Joshua knew that. He saw what happened when those 10 spies went in and brought back that bad report. He saw what it did to the people. He saw what those kind of games can do. And he says to people here, listen, you fear the Lord. You serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away anything. Put away anything that stands between you and growing to Christ's likeness. Now, Joshua didn't talk about Christ's likeness, but he talked about growing in God, which was the same idea in the Old Testament. And dear friends, he's saying to us today, what would you be willing to do in order to be all that I want you to be? So many times people ask, what does God want me to be? But yet if we're not willing to put away all the things that keep us from going there, then why are we upset with God when it doesn't happen? Well, preacher, I'm glad you're here saying that. Wish more of these young people were here. Well, let me tell you something, dear senior saint. They're not going to listen to me. But you get your life right, and I promise you they'll listen to you. You see, they know you. And if they see you stop playing the games, if they see you getting right with God, if they see you doing the things that aren't just churchy but are truly spiritual, and they see you begin to think more about the kingdom than you do your own little kingdom down here, and they begin to see a change in your heart where it's compassion and desire to help people instead of walling them off, I promise you they're going to come and say, I don't know about that preacher that was here, but I know you and I know something's different. Now tell me what happened to you. You see, God is looking. He's looking for people, just like Joshua describes here, those who fear the Lord, those who serve Him in sincerity and truth, and those who put away all the gods and other things that they would serve, all of these games that we play, and get real about the relationship that we have with a Savior who loves us, who gave everything for us. And then, what was really cool, I was talking to my class the other night, and I said, you know, Jesus could have been the Savior just as a small child. I mean, it was His blood that was shed that took care of the sins in a sacrificial way. So He could have died as a child. But why did God have Him be here for 33 years? I think it's because He wanted to show us what a God kind of person lives like. A God kind of person lives like. Now think about that. When you look at your life, and what you know of Jesus from the pages of the New Testament. Are you playing games today? Now, I know I'm being pretty blunt, but I've just only got about 30 more minutes. I'm out of here. I'm going back to temple. But I'm saying this. I want you to hear it carefully. What God is looking for, He said through His servant Joshua, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods. And then the informed choice leads to that next choice, a priority choice. Notice what he says. They serve these gods on the other side of the river. He says to them, listen, we got to put this stuff away. What are these things? Notice that he says gods on the other side of the flood. These were the gods that Abraham, way back in Genesis 12, these were the gods that Abraham had resisted in Mesopotamia. That would be modern-day Iraq. The river there, he's talking about the Tigris and Euphrates River. And these gods and priorities of the past, they dull the call of God right now. You know, there's some of us as Baptists, we have so many traditions and things that cloud the way for what we should be doing right now in the here and now. Right now. He talks also about the gods of Egypt. They represent the gods or priorities of our recent past, where the children of Israel led out with Moses out of Egypt toward the promised land. And these are the things of our recent past, and many of us have those things we hang on to, and those things keep us. They dilute the power of God in our lives. And then he says, and the gods of the Amorites,
The gods and the Amorites were those in the promised land that they were supposed to destroy and get rid of. But they were giving in to those as well. And it's those things in our world today that tend to destroy our commitment to our Lord. And dear friends, these are the games we play. These are the things we do that short circuit what God wants to do in each of our lives. Are you willing to make a priority choice? Once you're informed and know what God expects, are you willing to put a priority on that and do that alone? But then notice in verses 15 and 16, here we see a personal choice. Personal choice. And if it seem evil to you to serve the God, choose for yourselves who you'll serve. He talks about all these other gods. But then he says, but as for me, this is Joshua talking, and my house, who's he going to serve? We're going to serve the Lord. And notice again, it's all capital letters, and it's talking about the covenant God, the Lord. He is Yahweh, and he's going to be number one. He's going to be my number one focus in all of my life. And you know, the bottom line is, there's a lot of ways to study. There's a lot of ways to grow. But right now, in this season of this church's life, I know that the pastor and some key laymen have gotten together, leaders in this church, and they've determined that this is one of those things that will help this church grow, and I agree with them. And I just want to encourage you to consider, would you join this group? Would you join this group and truly ask the question, Lord, how can we be all that you want us to be? This is not the end, but it's certainly a good beginning. As we get this group, this unique group of body believers right here, building on the great foundation of the past, looking forward to that great time around the throne of grace. But for right now, to begin this season and this journey to honor God, to grow this group to be the followers of Jesus he wants them to be, and then to be a testimony to a broken community. Let me ask you this. We talked about this in our team meeting this morning. I hear they're going to be looking at building a lot of houses around here. And as director of missions, we have 70 churches all over Bell County. And I say to our smaller churches kind of out in the country, and as all these subdivisions are going, and we're getting them up in Temple big time, okay? But what's going to happen when they put 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 new houses out here? And what's going to happen when those folks coming up and start knocking on the door of your church? What's going to happen when they move in beside you? Are you ready? The people are coming. Is this church ready? Oh, yeah, preacher, we've been renovating this room. We've been renovating. We got a sound system now. We got everything. No. You meet out under a tree as far as a church goes. Is the church ready? Are the men and women who make up this body of believers, are you ready for what God is doing and going to do even more so in the future? Now, honestly, some of the churches I talk to in the North Temple and North Belton area, they look at me and say, they don't say it to me because I wouldn't listen to it, but I can see it in their eyes. We don't want them people. We don't want them people. They're not our family and our friend. We don't want them people. Well, they're coming. They're coming. And you can either celebrate what God's doing and join him in his work, or you can just say no and watch this beautiful facility decay and die. That's really that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about survival as a thriving body of believers. It's all about obedience. Obedience. I want you to think with me in conclusion about a scene that isn't always a fun thing to think about, but we've all been there. You've been to a cemetery. I've been to more than my share of them. And when you go to the cemetery, every grave that you find that has someone buried there, somebody there, every one of those, there's four things on that headstone. Four things. The first thing is their name. Second thing is their birth date. Third thing is their death date. And for the most part, we don't have a whole lot of control over that, okay? That's kind of given. But between the birth date and the death date, there's a dash. Now, friends, that's what we have control over. And when we go out there, I've got some family buried in the cemetery in West Jacksonville, and my dad and I, many times when I'm home, we'll go out and just kind of visit and think about the loved ones that we love so much, and they're out there, or they're not there, but the bodies are, and we'll find Uncle George's grave and Uncle Vernon's grave and find Granddaddy and Granny, and we just kind of wander around. Dad, now that's kind of our time. When they find your grave one day, and when they find my grave, and they look at that headstone, they say, yep, Tom Henderson, that's where I come to see. 1957. Boy, that was a good year for Fing cars. Amen. 1957. Great year. My brother and I were born the same year, 1957. I'm February and he's December. I like to kill Mama, but it was a great tax year for Dad. But she said if my brother had been like me, she wouldn't have made it. So I'm thankful my brother was there to kind of balance things. 1957, birth date. Who knows what the death date, but it'll be stamped on there somewhere. My son will make sure of that. But they'll step there and they'll look at that dash. And what are they going to say? What are they going to say? Well, he finally shut up. Maybe, you know. Well, no more of them bad jokes, you know, maybe. What I hope they say is, boy, my dad loved Jesus. My dad would go anywhere that he could to tell somebody about Jesus. I hope that's what they say. I hope they say here was a man who was faithful, a man who loved the Word, loved God's people, loved the church, loved the kingdom. I want to be like that man. There's some folks you'll go in and you'll look at and you'll say, wow, what a waste. Had all the ability, had resources, had opportunity, and they just piddled it away. What a waste. Friend, what's your tombstone going to say? What are people going to say as they look at it? You say, well, preacher, I'm kind of scared. That's overwhelming and daunting to me. I get it. Last week it was, we celebrated Groundhog Day. It's always interesting when Groundhog Day comes on Sunday, you know what I'm saying? And you know the story, Punxsutawney Phil, you know, he comes out. Well, this year he did not see his shadow. So winter's over, folks. Just go put all your coats away and just grab out your summer stuff and let's just enjoy. Punxsutawney Phil isn't in Texas, is he? I'm just saying. Out after that, we had snow in Temple. It's just kind of interesting how that works together. But here's the thing. I wish I could do a school for groundhogs. I wish I could. Because I would tell those boys how to make sure they never see their shadow again. Think about it. How could you make sure the groundhog never sees his shadow again? When he gets out of that hole, the first thing he does is looks at the sun. He will never see a shadow. Dear friend, as we think about this journey, if you'll make sure the first thing you look at is Jesus Christ, you will never see another fear, another shadow, another, I can't do that. Because in him, like Joe said in his testimony this morning, he who hath begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens that door, I will come in and be with him and he with me. Many of you responded to that years ago when you gave your hearts to Jesus. And it was true, wasn't it? When you asked him, he came in. Wasn't that a wonderful time? Amen. I want to ask you today to answer that call again. On the little green card here that Matt talked about earlier, I want you to make a commitment. I want you to choose well, a great commitment. I'm going to pursue this thing that God's brought to us, and I want to be a part of this next chapter in our church's life. I want you to check one or both of those. I've checked the last one because I'm going to be praying for you, and I put my name on it. I'm going to commit this card and this time for you and be checking with Matt and seeing how it goes. And as the group comes up, our beautiful praise singers, as they come up, I want to invite you. We're going to do something a little different. And I know different is terrible in Baptist churches. I get that, but I like stirring it up because that gets chance for Brother Matt to fix it all next week. But what I want you to do, and just humor me, I'm the visiting guy, okay? just humor me. And as we start to sing here, I'm going to pray, and I'll lead the parade. I'm going to step down here, and I'm going to put my card right here on this table. And if you want to do what God has called, and we're not going to embarrass anybody. We're not going to make you walk around like some of the churches do when they give their offering. We're just going to be saying, if you want to do this, this is between you and the Lord. I want you to just put it on the table here, this altar. You may be here today and you've never accepted Christ your Savior. This is kind of confusing, but you want to ask Jesus in your heart as well. I want you to come down. We'd be happy to talk to you, take God's word, and show you how you can come to know Christ as your Savior. Maybe something in your life that you've got to really get right, and maybe you need to come down to this altar over here or over here and just pray and ask God's forgiveness where you stand. There may be somebody in this room that you just can't stand, and you know that broken relationship is going to hinder you growing in Christ. It already has. The bitterness is eating you alive, and you need to get that right before you can really make a commitment to follow Jesus. I don't know what's going on because God hadn't given me that insight, but I know this, in a group this size, there's going to be those that have great needs, and I can't think of a better place than in the presence of the Lord among His people where you can truly find healing and help. So let's stand together. I want to pray, and then as the team sings, we're going to come. As God leads you to do so, you put those on the table. And then just continue to pray for your church, pray for your family, pray that God would move. And when I get a chance to come back here, and I hope I do one day, I just want to see the results of God's people continuing in this new journey, in this new chapter of the history of this great church. Father, thank you for being our Father. Thank you for being the great God that you are. And Lord, you have spoken today through testimonies, through music. You've spoken today through many ways. And now, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would seal the deal in the life of each one here. If there's one that needs Jesus as their Savior, oh, Lord, may they swallow their pride, repent of their sin, and say, yes, come in, Jesus, I need you. And then come share that great news with this wonderful church. Father, there's one that's doing some things or involved in some things, and they're in rebellion against you. I pray today would be the day they're broken. They're broken. So that you can then build them up once again. Father, I just pray for those who have been faithful, and there's a lot of faithful folks here. Lord, I pray today they would be encouraged, knowing that as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we never have to deal with fear and frustration because the sun always takes care of the shadows. Lord, just have your will and your way in each of our lives. We're going to be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.